Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Wednesday, Cleveland. It is game two of the first round of the NBA playoffs for the Cavs tonight, taking on the 8-seeded Miami Heat, which very interestingly, as I look up at the NBA TV broadcast, we've already gone down the hole because it says the number 2-seeded Cavaliers, not the number 1-seeded Cavaliers. Nice one. Good start. Off to a good start. No disrespect at all putting you on NBA TV. I mean, look at the product they put out. Absolutely absurd. You also had the Guardians tonight lose, and something little called the NFL draft coming your way in 25 hours, which, of course, you can listen to live here on The Fan as well. As the hour leading up, you can listen to me preview what the Browns are going to do in the first round, and we can have a little conversation tomorrow from 7 to 8. It is Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime until 11 tonight on The Fan. We got Michael Bomer on the board as well. Michael Markoch on the 2020s and New York behind the glass. Today is a day that we have to go a little bit into the hurry up to start off the show, because Cavs tip off coming up here at 7:30, and we'll obviously react to the game when it's all said and done, but I think that we have to have a little conversation before, and I want to get it in here before the tip off. Because as we go through and have talked about basically the first 2 days of this week, and the discourse that came from the Cavs winning game one to game two, we've all had the conversation, well, Eric Spoelstra usually in game ones, but you know what? He had a day to prepare. Now, with 2 days off, now this is really the prime opportunity for Eric Spoelstra to show his value as a coach and the adjustments that he can make and the game planning that he can have in the middle of a series to try to make his team adapt to what the Cavs want to do. I just don't know that anything that I see from tonight is going to be really anything I look at. Like, yes, it's a test for the Cavs. You have to go up 2-0 in this series, in my mind. You can't let Boston take a game in Cleveland and risk stretching the series out to a potential 6 games. Because if you are going to take one, I would imagine they take one in Miami. And I'm looking right now at the Cavs needing to be the team to step up and be the better team and just show their dominance at home. But if there's going to be an adjustment, tonight is the adjustment. If the Heat are going to look good in this series, I think game two really is the prime spot for you to see, okay, what is the value of Spoelstra with this team and its current construction in the Miami Heat? And I just don't know if I trust the Heat to actually go through and make a difference. Like, we're getting ready for this game. I'm excited for Cavs playoffs every single time we get here. But I am sitting here fully expecting the Cavs to still take this game. Do I expect them to win by 21? No, because I do expect some adjustments to be made. Spoelstra, at least early on, throw something that Kenny has to adjust to mid-game. But ultimately, the talent is too high. The talent is too great from the Cavs to actually be going and losing a game to the Miami Heat with your best player being Tyler Hero and then Bam and then basically nothing else within the entire roster of actual noteworthy things in the playoffs. I have to think that this is another game where the Cavs take care of business, but I'm interested. And where you can chime in at 216-474-0092. Are you expecting the Heat to bounce back tonight? I do think that they somehow get back on the board. They probably make this much like we saw the first three quarters of the game back on Sunday, where you're sort of teetering that 9 to 10 point line. You're sort of riding right on the edge of double digits. And then at some point, yeah, you're either going to finish that way or probably extend the lead slightly beyond it. I don't expect this Cavs team to take their foot off the gas. I don't expect this Cavs team to have real struggles. But I do think the most interesting thing that you learn from tonight is what you have in Kenny Atkinson. And truthfully, as we talk about this Heat series being one of the prime things that we look at and the best thing that the Cavs could have in the first round, right? It's something I've said. It's something we've had multiple guests on our show say that cover the Cavs and cover the NBA. Yes, this is a great series for the Cavs. It's sort of a lock in, get back to the way you were for 4 months and take care of the Heat and make sure your confidence that it's an all-time high. This is almost the perfect test for me for Kenny Atkinson as well, though. And as a test, I'm talking about what you could possibly get in the first round. Obviously, the Celtics are going to be the real test. But this is a test of you clearly have one of, if not the best coach in the NBA on the other side, and Eric Spoelstra. He's going to make adjustments. And coming into this game, it should be Spoelstra's making adjustments to what the Cavs were doing in game one. And the Cavs are coming out and saying, we're playing our game, you beat us. We make some tweaks, we make some adjustments to game one and really fix the little things. But from an overall big picture standpoint, you should be going in with the same game plan that you had in game two or that you have in game one for game two again if you're the Cavs. But as we see adjustments made from the Heat, that's where this gets interesting and where I feel like this is a good test for Kenny Atkinson is that I need to see what adjustments you can make in-game. I want to see that as you go through and look at different things from the Heat. I imagine maybe a couple of gimmicky zones, a bunch of different switching zones. The Heat are going to try to keep the Cavs offense a little bit more off balance than they did in game one. As Spoelstra sort of rolls those things out, where does Kenny go, both offensively and defensively? What adjustments do you make? Well, what in-game, in-series adjustments can you make to then counteract and make sure that your team's still on top? You can see it in the regular season where you're trying out lineups, and if it doesn't work one night, well, throw your palms into the air and say it didn't work that night. The NBA playoffs are obviously different. You have to be on your A-game as head coach going and switching the game plan and making in-game adjustments. This is the test for Kenny Atkinson to say, you're not going to lose this series. There's almost no way that the Cavs go through and lose the series to the Heat. So you have the wiggle room to almost, I don't want to say get it wrong, but I'll play with your food a little bit, right? To not be at your absolute sharpest. And if something doesn't work, it doesn't feel like you're getting massively punished for it and you can go away and your team will probably still take care of business. But it's a test to see what do those in-game adjustments look like and how does Kenny handle the pressure and the atmosphere of the playoffs as a head coach? Because the only time we've seen it, obviously, is back in Brooklyn, which you have a much better roster in Cleveland. And I would say that Kenny himself would tell you he's grown so much as a coach since his playoff run in Brooklyn. So this is the true test. This is where you go and you look at Kenny Atkinson and say, do something to change it. Do something to stay dominant in this series. I don't want to see the Cavs scrape by the Miami Heat tonight and me be sitting there scratching my head as we go through on this show. And the game is on. I'm scratching my head going, why is Tyler Hero wide open? Why are they not, you know, stepping up on the pick and roll? Why can't they figure out a 3-2 zone? Those are the type of things that within a, and obviously just boiled that the 3-2 zone down to an absolute nothing burger. You get what I'm saying now. But those are the type of questions you answer tonight if you're Kenny Atkinson. And those are the type of questions and the type of things you're going to need to be able to do when you go and you face the Joe Mazzulla and the Boston Celtics to be able to adjust and change to the way that they're playing. Because your game plan for that's going to be vastly different, but you know the Celtics to some degree are going to make in-game adjustments and they're going to change the way that they play. And a lot of it's going to be centered around how do we get guys like Derek White and Jrue Holiday involved? And you're going to have answers for that. because those are the guys that can't beat you in an Eastern Conference Final Series. You can't have Derek White dropping 30 on you because likely Jason Tatum's still getting his and Jaylen Brown's still getting his. And then the next guy up, as soon as they start to come alive, that's when you enter danger territory, when everybody else starts to hit their shots, be open, get the knockdowns where they needed to be. That's where it needs to change. So if you're right now Kenny Atkinson, you have to show me that, yeah, a lot of this is probably going to be taken away at Tyler Hero, the way that the Heat are constructed. But show me that you can do it in multiple ways. Show me that when Boston, or in this case now Miami, but when that time comes in the Eastern Conference Finals, as I think it will, show me that you're going to be able to adjust to different defenses and make sure that the offense is still firing on all cylinders. But I do expect, again, a bounce-back game from the Heat tonight, just not in the win column. I just think you get something between the Cavs losing and the Cavs winning by 21. I know, bold statement, crazy take by me. But you have to find a middle ground in this game of, yes, the Heat are going to come back, and they're going to come back stronger than they were in game one. More rested, better prepared, adjustments ready to go, having played you in one playoff game already. But that's where, in games later on in the playoffs, you might be the team playing the proactive, what can we change in our game to better fit this series? But now is a great time to test the reactive. When the other team makes adjustments, how do we counter that? How do we quickly in game figure out, okay, this is what they're trying to do, let's make the quick adjustment? And that's on Kenny Atkinson and his staff today. They're truly, to me, sort of the biggest X factor in a game two against the Heat. Those are the guys that have to show me they're ready for this. I saw in game one that guys like Donovan, guys like Darius and Ty Jerome, they're ready for the playoffs. This team as a whole is ready for the playoffs. But game two is about showing me that you're ready for it as a coaching staff. That it's not just the players on the floor getting out and doing it, but that you're going to be able to make the minor tweaks and adjustments necessary to carry this team through the playoffs and set them up in a position to succeed. 216-474-0092. Is this a bounce back game for the Heat? And is tonight on Kenny Atkinson and the coaching staff, is that the biggest X factor in a game two? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. As always tonight, this station buzz is going to be coming your way at 7:40. We'll get to Get a Grip at 9. We'll bring Michael Markoch in later on in the show as well for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, asking you guys at 216-474-0092, is Kenny Atkinson and the coaching staff the X factor for game two? And do you need to see it from him to have confidence going through the playoffs? We'll get to your calls and more coming up on this in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on 92.3 The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092. Is Kenny Atkinson and the coaching staff the X factor for game two against the Heat? Again, for me, it's just, hey, you're going to see adjustments out of Eric Spoelstra. It's natural what's going to happen from the coach. I would think, and maybe it doesn't happen as early as game two, but I would think that it probably does because of the way the game one looked. I would think you'd probably go a little bit younger in the lineup. Try to get a little bit more defensive presence in there because Duncan Robinson and what Ira Winderman of the Sun Sentinel the other day was calling him, the Jimmy Neutron of the NBA. I don't think that he really has it to fully guard a Donovan Mitchell and a Darius Garland. Not exactly the guy that you're terrified of in this series, not the enforcer, not the defensive presence. So I'd imagine you probably try to scheme something up. If it's not going younger, playing a different style of defense, a zone or something to try to help take care of the guard play because it ran rampant. And they did a fine job on Evan Mobley and Jared Allen in that first game. But the Heat really did struggle against...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All the guard play from the Cavs. I mean, you look up and down, that was what took care of it. I mean, it was what? 45, 55 points from Darius and Ty Jerome and another 30. He had 85 total points by just the guard trio for the Cavs. I'd imagine it gets a little bit harder tonight for Donovan, Darius, and Ty, and especially Ty. I don't think they're going to allow him to beat you for a game two, and that's where the adjustments have to come in for Kenny Atkinson and Damari Carroll and the rest of the staff. You have to show that there's something you can do to make the adjustment, to get the change, that when those different looks occur from the Heat, show me the adjustments you make. Show me that you're just not riding on the playoffs and riding on this series by you're the better team. You have the more talent on the roster. I need to see you actually show up and be the coaches that you need to be for the playoffs. And I have full confidence that Kenny gets that done. I have a ton of faith. The way that he's coached them all year, the amount of different lineups and looks that he's thrown out there, and they've tested just about everything under the sun throughout the regular season while maintaining a one seed, I would think you probably find a way to make this look pretty good. To still find a way to win this game. I don't know if it's going to be dominantly, but convincingly in order to get it done. But just no adjustment, by the way, from NBA TV. Right? We heard Tristan and some other Cavs talk about the disrespect of being on NBA TV. Just no adjustment out of the graphic. Still to this point, showing the Heat as the number 8 seed and the Cavs as the number 2 seed. Just, it's not reality. The 8 and the 2 seed don't play. Nobody realized that during the break. They went to a commercial break. Nobody realized that they had the wrong seating up there. Nobody's taking a look at that. If this isn't the sign of disrespect. Listen, I can understand just the overall disrespect of playing on NBA TV, because most of your normal, regular television is not going to carry that. Even some of your streaming sort of online versions of television, not carrying that. And you can't even get the seating right for the playoffs? I mean, it's right there. You look up a bracket, I could get the seating to you in 10 seconds. I can make that switch easily. And just nobody taking notice. Okay. Well, according to NBA TV for tonight, the Cavs are the 2 seed. Congratulations. Nod to you guys. Thought you had the 1 locked in. Thought that's why you were playing the 8 seed, but apparently not. The other thing for the Cavs that I think is important to see tonight, I told you, I think Eric Spoelstra is going to make the necessary adjustments to at least keep this thing close and give the Cavs a test. But if it comes down to sort of shutting down the guard play and putting a heavy emphasis on stopping Donovan, Darius, and Ty, tonight's the night that you also need to see a guy like Evan Mobley sort of step up and be the Cavs' second best player. Because you'll get through this series if he's not. But everything that I do, it's interesting that, yes, I have to take care of business. I have to beat the Heat. There's no doubt about it. But as a fan, knowing that there's about no way that you're losing this series, a lot of my attention goes on, what do we learn in this series that it tells you about the rest of the playoffs? What are the takeaways heading into a second-round matchup against what's most likely the Indiana Pacers, but potentially the Milwaukee Bucks? And then, obviously, hopefully into an Eastern Conference Finals against what we would assume to be the Boston Celtics. What can I learn from round one that's going to translate into the problems and everything I see further on? Evan Mobley not being your second best player and playing the way that he did in game one, and sort of getting shut down, single-digit points, single-digit rebounds, not being efficient from the floor. Those are the things that I need to see turned around within this series and show me that it was just a random night in the NBA. This was not what's to be shown, that you can actually be shut down. Because that's the big thing, is that teams are going to throw just about everything at you in order to try to take away some of your best players. You saw it in game one against the Heat with Tyler Hero. The Cavs clearly had a game plan to take Tyler Hero out of his rhythm and try to take him away from the offense and make everybody else beat you. Well, again, having Bam on the floor and pairing him with Khalil Ware, that's where you look and say, okay, now Evan Mobley was not great in game one. I kind of need you to step up and be the guy then in game two, or the second guy off. I imagine Donovan still gets his, but I need you to play like a star, like a guy that's actually difficult to stop. You just don't see in the playoffs the top-tier talent on the top-tier teams getting held to single digits. And I understand this Cavs team does not operate like a team like the Celtics do, or again, Tatum and Brown are sort of going to get theirs. They don't operate like a New York Knicks, or even you can look further down in the seeding at like a Magic, where you clearly, you have a star player, or you have a couple of star players, and those guys carry the load night in and night out and have to be the primary ball scorers. The Cavs can flip-flop from night to night, but you have to show me, if you're Evan Mobley, that you can still be the dominant player. You can still be the guy that, okay, you want to now start to take away more of the guard play. Well, here's how you have to try to find to beat me, too. He should be the problem child tonight, assuming that the Heat make adjustments. He should be the guy that they're looking at going, okay, now how on earth do we stop that while stopping the guards? Because I just can't have you putting up single-digit performances. I still need you to find a way to get yours, even while the Cavs are being relatively dominant. Because at the end of the day, the box score is something I can throw away, especially in a 21-point win. But the more concerning part is when you were playing a relatively close game against the Heat through the first three quarters of basketball in Game 1, Evan Mobley, I mean, especially in the first half, was essentially a non-factor. He walked away from the first half without a rebound. And the Cavs are holding on to a 7-point lead. That's where I need you to be better. That's where I need you to step up and actually have a real impact, but even more so on the offensive side of the ball. You don't walk away from tonight with single-digit points. You don't walk away from tonight shooting a 4 of 10 from the field and not having a majority of those misses come from outside. I get it. Bam's a good defender. He's not an elite defender. He's a good defender. But you still have to be able to find your spots. I mean, you have Jared Allen playing alongside of you to help take care of Bam. And if it's not, you know, if Evan, things aren't working for Evan, you should think things are happening elsewhere. Whether that's with Jarrett, because he's getting helped out by Bam Adebayo, and then Jarrett should be somewhat open. But Evan has to be more of a primary ball handler, I think, in this game. Evan has to be more of a primary scorer or a secondary scorer. I need to see it for the further rounds. Because as you go up against the Bostons and everybody else, we've seen what Evan Mobley has the capabilities to do against some of the top-tier talent and some of the top teams in the NBA. I mean, he dropped 30 on the Celtics last year when you asked him to actually step up and have a major impact in his role. Well, this year has been focused around giving Evan Mobley more of an impact, more of a role on the offense, and it's clearly translated into a very positive thing for the Cavs. You've gotten him to shoot the three, he can space the floor, and he could also still now take the ball off the dribble, get inside, work there as well. But Evan needs to step up and be that guy. He needs to be the number two, because I need you to be that in order to beat the Celtics. I need you to take advantage of a team that'll obviously have more opportunities to score inside. But you need to show me that you have the superstar ability in you. And again, it's not even, as we talk about this, a distrust for these guys, because I think that Evan's going to get it done. I don't think that game one is the overall indicator of what this series and what this playoffs is going to be. But tonight is the test night. Tonight's where you show me that things are different than you saw in game one, even though you walked away with a 21-point win. But that's not the only path to victory. Is that Ty plays out of his mind, Darius plays out of his mind, Donovan has a good game. You need to show me that you can win in multiple ways. Which is why I honestly like, and why I talk about this being sort of the premier matchup for the Cavs as well, because they're going to test you. The Heat are going to throw different looks at you. And it's going to show the opportunity that it wasn't just the regular season. Prove to the national media, this isn't just a regular season team. But when the adjustments need to be made in the playoffs, and different guys can be unlocked through just the opportunities presented to yourself, that you're a killer. You're a team that can attack everybody in the NBA from multiple different fronts. That's the fun part of having the guard tandem of Darius and Donovan and how good they've worked together this year. That's the fun part of being able to be dominant more than most teams are inside with the power big duo that you have in Jarrett and Evan. And by adding DeAndre Hunter, this team can just look a lot different. And I think truthfully, you have answers for just about every single lineup that can be thrown at you. You have all of the tools at your disposal. I need to see you actually utilize all those tools. And I think tonight is sort of test night one for you beat us one way, show me you can beat the Heat and be dominant in doing so another way now. I mean, if they're giving you Donovan and Darius and Ty again, by all means, take it. But I need to see if the Heat are making the adjustments, the Cavs also then need to be making the adjustments. They need to be on top of their game as well in changing things right on top of it and seeing Evan take over back into the star role that we know he can be, that we need him to ultimately be for this team to have success. Tonight, if I'm looking at it, it should be a Cavs win. It should be one you walk away from and you feel good about. And you should be taking a 2-0 lead into Miami. I just want the first round is a whole year to feel like, okay, the Cavs have really put it on. The Cavs have shown that they are the better team and that they're ready to handle the playoffs in front of them. Don't give me any doubts about, well, they're just letting Miami hang around. That was the woes of JB Bickerstaff. We've essentially taken that away and planted that on JB that, yeah, you're going to make your matchups harder than they have to. Right? There's just, it's going to feel like you're ramming your head into a brick wall at times watching JB coach and go up against sort of the different looks and lineups that you're going on because you're just going to screen and roll at the top and that's going to be your offense. It's now that you get the opportunity to prove this is not a team composition that struggled for JB, but truthfully, all of your problems that existed in the playoffs were a lack of adjustment from coaching and a lack of execution in a game plan that was just non-variable, right? It just had no versatility. Kenny Atkinson is the difference maker tonight. Don't get that twisted. He should be the one freeing up Evan Mobley, and Evan Mobley then has to execute. It's all riding on the shoulders of the coaching staff, how confident I can be in this team moving forward. You should be building my confidence game after game to the point where I get to the Celtics and I'm looking at this Cavs team going, you know what? You are the one seed. You should take care of business. This is a series that you should 100% be in and you should have a coin flip, if not better chance of winning it. Also, somebody from NBA TV was listening. Finally got the one seed graphic up there. We're good. One seed Cavs. Big thumbs up to them. Only took the 35 minutes that it's been on here for the pregame to get it fixed. But they got it right. No longer the two seed. Good job, guys. All right. Let's leave that there. Cavs going to be ready to get into action here coming up in a few minutes. And with that, we'll get to the most pressing things said from the station's guests today across the entire station, across all of our shows with the station buzz, including kicking things off. A little bit of Cavs. Justin Termine on today from Sirius NBA Radio at the morning show. Michael Lee of the Washington Post down with Baskin and Phelps. We'll hear some Cavs reaction, and then it'll be time to talk Browns. Drafts tomorrow, but the station buzz coming your way in about 5 minutes with Jake Volnick here on Overtime on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Going to be talking a little bit of NFL draft coming up here at 8 o'clock. in 17 minutes. We'll talk a little bit of that, but we got to get to some more things from across the station today, because as the Cavs get ready to get underway, let's sort of break down what's in front of us and what was said by our station's guest today across all topics, Cavs, Browns, all of it. Let's do it with the station bus.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's kick things off. Let's talk a little Cavs. Justin Termin, Sirius NBA Radio, on with the morning show today with Ken and Anthony. And he talked about the Cavs' depth and what they have, just maybe being more of a regular season thing than it is a playoff thing.
I would say that's a regular season strength to win a ton of games. It's a regular season strength to be able to rest guys and keep guys fresh, as Kenny Atkinson did all year. It's like you look at the numbers of Mitchell and Garland, etc. Like, their minutes per game are far different from guys on the Knicks, guys on the Celtics who play their starters a lot. So I think it's like an advantage in the regular season. I think it's an advantage maybe even when you're playing a series like this where you should win. But I think you got to tighten that up a little bit, probably maybe next round, definitely in the conference finals. Not with guys like, coming off the bench like, you know, DeAndre Hunter or Ty Jerome. Like, they still should be getting a ton of minutes. But, are you going to use, Isaac Okoro as much, a Sam Merrill, a Dean Wade? I don't know about that.
So what I actually think turns into, and Justin Termin's not wrong here in the way that he talks about it, because you're not going to play, once you get to Indiana, and especially once you get to a team like Boston, you're not going to play 10 guys deep and every guy coming off the bench is going to have 10 plus minutes. It's not going to happen. But where I think that this is partially still an advantage for the Cavs is when you talk about all of the different things that they've done, the matchups that they go to, right, and all the different lineups they've tried, where most teams are going to have 8-9 guys. Those are the guys they have on the floor, and you're going to have to be able to trust them to make the adjustments that they can make, and you're just going to be crafting different lineups out of them. Whereas I go through and look at the Cavs, and I'm looking at 10, 11 guys who are capable of playing inside of the playoffs, but just at varying things, right? Maybe in one series, Sam Merrill matches up better, or against a certain lineup against one of the teams that you're playing. You know, Dean Wade, it needs to be brought out on the floor as almost a stretch five in terms of defense and being able to guard that when the other team's going small. It's like, I think of a Boston series like that. That's where I think the depth for the Cavs still becomes an advantage. I don't think that it stops just at the regular season. Then it's, okay, well, your five still have to match up with their five. It's more that, but the bench still matters. You still have to get in prime production from the Cavs bench in the playoffs, and you can still get that from the Okoros, the Merrills, the Wades. They're 100% still on the table for all of those guys to be making a massive contribution here into the playoffs. All right, let's wrap up talking Cavs here. Michael Lee of the Washington Post on with Baskett and Phelps today, and he talked about really a difference between Darius Garland's last year to this year in the playoff impact.
He didn't use it as something that he could say, oh, well, last year was bad because things weren't going right for me personally. He was just like, no, next year's going to be better because I heard everything that was said. I heard everybody say that I wasn't up to the call. And so I'm going to go out there and try to just collect some receipts on my own and really let people know what I'm about.
And Darius has done just that. I mean, he did it all through the regular season, especially those first 4 months, and he certainly carried that into game one of the NBA playoffs here against the Heat. He was absolutely incredible. 27 points, efficient from the field, did quite literally everything that you could have potentially asked of him in that game. And I'm sure the Cavs will be looking for him to do something similar here again in game two and throughout the playoffs. But Darius, I think it's good for you look at a guy that clearly had no reason to be overly confident coming into this year, had every reason to be down on himself after his performance from last year and his confidence being shaken from the injury that he suffered again with his jaw. He just took it with chip on the shoulder, bet on himself again mentally, and came out and did exactly what he needed to do and took care of business and showed that he still is the guy that should be an all-star and has the potential to help lead a team far into the playoffs. It was an incredible bounce back here from Darius, and I'm looking to see more of it in the playoffs. All right, let's leave the Cavs there until we react to tonight's game after it's all wrapped up. Let's get into a little bit of Browns talk, including with Eddie George, former Heisman winner, and as well the new head coach of the Bowling Green State, those Falcons. He was on today and talking about just a little bit of college athlete, Travis Hunter, and where he favors him, corner or wide receiver from a coach perspective.
I know firsthand, I've had to compete against that young man when he was at Jackson State and I was coaching Tennessee State. And you see he is a talent that no one's ever seen before. You know, he is a guy that can play both sides of the ball extremely well. And my advice to him is, take advantage of that opportunity. If you have a chance to be different and be paid different because of what he brings to the table, take advantage of that. It's going to come down to, you know, how Cleveland looks at him as. I think you have to give him those opportunities for both sides of the football. Me personally, I think he's more valuable as a corner than right now as a receiver.
Yeah, and that's also how I view Travis Hunter, but I do think it's interesting to hear from Eddie, not just because he's fun to talk to, and him and Nick's interactions today were they at least gave me a good laugh, and you can obviously go back and listen after tonight's show's over, but a very fun interview for those guys. But also because hey, you hear the way, from a coaching perspective, the way that he talked about Travis Hunter, and he talked about the Travis Hunter that he saw again at Jackson State, where he wasn't even really the same two-way player, right? He finished in 2022 before he went over to Colorado at Deion with 18 catches, 190 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Obviously, his next 2 years then blow that out of the water because he was a freshman that season. But even just watching him there, and then I'm sure as Eddie watched him progress throughout his career, looked at him and went, yeah, that guy's special. And if Eddie's looking at it going, the Browns have to find a way to use him two ways, and he should be taking advantage of that opportunity, and it's definitely possible in the NFL, that's a guy that's going to be able to tell you sort of what is and what isn't possible. I think it's very interesting to listen from the player perspective how they think a two-way player is still definitely capable of getting things done and being a contributor. I like when Denzel Ward says it, I'm like, oh, well, he's not going to say something bad about a potential teammate coming in. But Eddie's got nothing to lose. It's not like he's going to be coaching Travis Hunter probably anytime soon, if I had to imagine. He could go out and say pretty much whatever he wanted, still decided to speak highly of him, and still decided to say two-way player definitely has the opportunity to make itself work in the NFL. Doubling down here on Afternoon Drive, Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network on talking about pick 33 and what makes it so intriguing for the Browns.
I think pick 33, I actually think in this whole draft could be the most interesting pick of the entire draft, because I think the bulk of the value in this draft are the guys who are going to come on day two, so rounds two and round three. And if the Browns can manipulate the chessboard to get even more players, they're picking a number of 10 total picks, right? If they could get even a number more in those second and third rounders and get, you know, maybe they trick someone into thinking they love Shador in that case, and then they take Jackson Dart. Like, I feel like that's a spot where I would try to extort someone there.
So it's very interesting. Cynthia obviously talks about the possibility of trading down, but the 33 pick is just as interesting as it comes. The last 3 years, the team who had the 33 pick didn't end up drafting at 33, and they make a draft day trade, whether to move back up, move down. it's just such a wild card because you have an easy opportunity to move back into the first round and take advantage of a fifth-year option on a player that you really want, or the opportunity to sit there after all of Thursday night throughout the day Friday and have teams call you and basically toss you a bunch of offers to get back up to 33. And then on top of it, you're just looking at a class right now where you're probably going to have quarterbacks available to you in that spot. There's a million different ways that the Browns can go. I think it all depends on how the board sort of shakes out. If you get a quarterback that you like late in that first round that hadn't gone, trade up. If you don't like any of the quarterbacks, or you don't like any of the players at 33, or feel like you can get a couple of picks in the second and third round like Cynthia talked about, well, trade back. If your guy falls to your lap, don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Just make the pick. But the Browns truthfully do have everything at their disposal, and I think that 33 is probably the most interesting position in the draft right now, at least on the Browns side. It's hands down, it's not close. Dale Reiter, our Cleveland sports beat reporter, on with Nick and JP today, and he talked about if you're going to be trading down in this draft, you better be doing it for one spot only.
I'd have to think a quarterback, and I've been trying to find a quarterback that is realistic for the Browns to acquire, because that's the only thing that I can think would justify trading down from number two for a quote-unquote veteran player. You'd have to get a quarterback and not a Reddit quarterback, not a bridge quarterback, but you got to get somebody that, you know, you potentially can do something with them on a long-term basis.
Yeah, I don't want to go trade for a veteran player. This is not the way, in my eyes, to be fixing this team. Like, if you obviously went out and got a guy of the likes of Trevor Lawrence or, hell, even a Kyler Murray, like, okay, that's where it starts to get intriguing in terms of where we talk veteran. I don't want you to go trade for a 32-year-old quarterback who you think can lead you to the promised land. Again, quarterback matters so much, but if you're the Browns, you shouldn't just be trying to maximize the next 3 years. You should be trying to maximize the next seven. You need to be putting yourself into a window, in a long window, to win, because this team is not ready to be flipped on its head. Even a great quarterback coming in, and with an addition of getting a guy in the second and third round, you don't have the wide receivers, you don't have the run game, the offensive line's not stable enough in the short term. There's just too many factors that play into it where you really don't have a clue on what the Browns could potentially be doing. Right? Or you don't have a clue that they're going to go out there and just turn it into wins. It's just not worth the investment, even for me, to go get a veteran quarterback or a veteran player in general in giving up number two, especially with Travis Hunter on the board. It's just not the way you have to treat things. You have to go and know that you have a potential generational talent on your hands and an absolute game changer in the NFL. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back, let's talk Browns draft. I think it's very simple at this point to ask the question, is there anything that the Browns do in your eyes? Is there a player they can take it to that would classify to you as messing up the draft? As really turning this thing sideways that when you walk away, you're not going to be feeling good? I'll give you my thoughts. We'll get to your calls here coming up at 8 o'clock. It's Overtime with Jake Molnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.